Welcome to The Challenge, where we'll discuss the challenges that life gives us. Challenges from the perspective of people with disabilities, and challenges from those who encounter a disabled person in any walk of life. If you have comments about the show or would like to be a guest, call a listener feedback line at 206-333-0257. That's 206-333-0257. Or send email to challenge8255@gmail.com. And now your host, Steve Bauer.
Welcome to program number 4. And we're going to be talking about transportation and getting a bird's eye view about transportation from the point of a driver of a paratransit van. My guest this week is Bob Harris, and he's a guy that I see 4 or 5 days a week, at least twice a day, as he's the guy that drives me to and from work. Welcome to the show, Bob.
Thank you. Glad to be on.
You have had the opportunity over several years to work with people with disabilities and in various situations and types of work. You want to kind of quickly go through some of the kind of jobs you have done over the years with persons with disabilities.
As working with individuals with disabilities, I've worked with individuals who have long-term mental illness, helping them find opportunities to fit into the community and work, making sure that they are taking care of themselves by making sure we monitor medicines, and essentially just helping them be in the community and making whatever adjustments they need to make so that they can be a contributing member of society.
All right, we'll come back to that topic in a moment because I think that's got some interesting possibilities. But for the past, I don't even remember, how many years have you been driving a van?
About 4 years that I've actually driven a van, but of course, in my other job, I also drove a van because we picked everybody up, brought them into the program, and then put them back home. I've driven a van probably, I've been involved in this work for probably the last 16, 17 years, something like that, 18 years.
Well, it kind of makes for an interesting work day for you. And of course, you picked me up in the morning quite early, about 6 o'clock.
Right.
And drop me off at the office, and then you whirl around the city and transport other people, and then you show back up in the afternoon about 2:30-ish, and you take me back home, and and then you continue whirling around the city. But in the middle of the day, though, most of the day, you're kind of free and able to do what you need to do.
Exactly. And during the day, I oftentimes come home, there's quite a bit of paperwork involved, and I'm in the process of completing that paperwork and making sure we have our records up to date.
No paperwork. Leave it up to the state and the government to make that raise its ugly head, huh?
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's true of all of it. And sometimes you wonder if they're, man, I wouldn't want to have that. If they just don't sit around and create stuff. But anyway, it's important, and it's basically how all agencies get compensated is by the paperwork that they submit.
How many people on an average do you transport each weekday?
Well, if you count them twice, which is picking them up and taking them home, probably the highest day I have would be 43 individuals.
Wow, that's a pretty good.
At times.
Yeah.
And then on a more regular basis, I have somewhere in the neighborhood of 20, 25 on a regular basis, but then some days it peaks with other activities that I have related to my work.
As a driver, what would you say would be one of your major challenges in dealing with persons with disabilities on a daily basis?
Well, I guess the major challenge is just to make sure that everyone is safely secured in their seat with a seat belt, checking that periodically to make sure they haven't undone them. or having people sit in a certain position in the vehicle so that in the event, because they will not wear a seatbelt, there's every chance that if something did happen that there would be a seat in front of them that would absorb the energy, whatever, if it's a quick stop or whatever it happens to be.
So in driving a van, I know that different weather conditions, obviously from a driver's standpoint, present some challenges, snow and ice, and into the spring and summertime, thunderstorms and hail and things like that. Do weather conditions present you some challenges for the people that you do transport?
Generally speaking, with the rain, that's not particularly a problem, but during snow times, because some of them may have difficulty in ambulating, I will pick them up and go to their door and walk them to the bus to make sure that they have safe ability to transport themselves to the bus or from the bus to their home. Like in this most recent storm, there are a number of individuals where I do that. In other situations, they manage to get by, but that's something we have to make an adjustment and make sure that they are an individual is dealt with safely in whatever environment we find ourselves.
Do you find that parents and family members assist in helping people get to and from the van at certain points?
Generally speaking, most parents will be involved in that process, but sometimes it's easier because I can be in and out of the van more quickly and there and provide an arm to make sure that they have another way of stabilizing themselves. Sometimes with some of them, their parents have already gone to work, so they're individuals are being escorted to and from the bus because there's not a parent or a guardian that's available right at that moment. And they are ambulatory normally except for where the condition changes.
One thing you and I have talked about on numerous occasions is the fact that you consider yourself rather physically fit, considering that you're in and out of the van and doing a lot of physical motion and loading and unloading wheelchairs and that type of thing, and I guess that's one advantage of your job.
Yes, it is. I'd say it's been one of the key advantages because it keeps me physically active basically 8 hours a day.
And, of course, for people who just go in and sit down at a desk, that's a definite contrast, and most people don't have the opportunity to be moving around a lot on their job and doing things.
That's very true. And when I was in that type of situation and mostly desk-oriented, there were times in my life when I added a lot of extra weight that I wished that I hadn't, and it was a struggle to get it taken off. This way I don't.
I know with the van it's always interesting to pop on and off of there. You, from time to time, do take care of general maintenance of the van, such as cleaning and washing it. Do you have other responsibilities in that line, or is that handled by somebody in the maintenance fleet?
We have an individual in the maintenance program, and we watch our mileage as we write it down daily, make sure that when we get to that point in a certain range, why we take it in and the oil is changed, and if we see abnormalities in the tires, we make sure that the vehicles are safely maintained in that area. If we hear odd noises or whatever else it might be, replacement of light bulbs, etc., that might take place on the bus, then we can go to the maintenance department and get that taken care of.
Well, let's go back to one of the things you mentioned earlier, and that was working with persons with disabilities and finding them employment and that type of thing. What kind of challenges did you find that you would run into when you would speak to potential employers and try to encourage them to give a person with a learning disability or another form of disability an opportunity to do a job? How did you go about convincing them that it was a good idea for them to do that?
Well, number one, they may have high turnover, and once they would have someone, whatever the disability might be, if they had them and they took the time to train them and they were supportive of them, they probably would wind up dealing better with them than with some young person that may come in. Of course, their life is new, and they're just experiencing new things, and they go out and do them. And if they can keep an eye on them, and the person is someone who's very honest and candid, if they're not doing well or whatever, they can let their employer know, and then they can get whatever it is that is an issue in their life at that moment to get it taken care of, get it balanced out, and be back to work. And to always encourage them and the employer to have an open and honest relationship with one another about what might be going on. Sometimes they had a lot of support, but in other instances, many of them lived very independently. And it depends on what part of my career you look at. The earlier part of my career, I dealt with individuals who had the ability to live on their own and had only minimal intervention or involvement with a person with the background that I have.
In regard to a living situation, is that a challenge to find, say, an apartment or duplex or even a house for someone to rent or to live in? Do landlords, I know times are changing, but do landlords resist renting to a person with special needs?
Sometimes they do. But with other individuals earlier in my career, it's very common for people who are mentally ill and some of the other instances to live very independently, and they only have, it's episodic. Sometimes they have a problem, and the main thing is, if you see that, is to work with staff and make sure that they get into the appropriate medical setting so that they can eventually return back to their normal existence. And you have to be able to recognize what characteristics might be in that particular person's situation that would tell you that it's time for them to get back in touch with whatever their medical processes are to get back into the system, getting the medical issues stabilized.
Bob, what do you think led you to work in the field with persons with disabilities? Was there anything that triggered it, or just something that kind of happened?
Essentially, it kind of happened. Basically, it's my in-laws were involved in working with that, and I kind of got interested in it and got away from the human resource side, which is something that I did in an earlier part of my life. And I've always cared about people and being able to learn what the system was and working in the system, make sure the people got benefits that they were entitled to and could feel safe and secure that they could function in a community and enjoy the benefits of the community and the support that comes from it.
I know so many times the different drivers that I've had over the years, they tend to make a comment, something to the effect, I'm just a bus driver. But as I've told you before, that your function is very important to me as a person, allowing me to get to and from work and to make a living and be a contributing member of society. So your role actually is very important.
It is important. I'm sure most people are not aware. We do provide transportation, but we also, when you drive a bus or a vehicle or whatever it may be, you are also interacting with individuals, and the interaction can be very positive. And sometimes you can spot maybe a problem that may be occurring, and you can pass it along to a case manager or someone else so that those issues can be dealt with, or you can encourage them to check with whatever medical services are available at each one of the centers and make sure that it's being looked at and taken care of. So you are constantly involved with them, and they will talk to you. And as you build trust, they share even more information with you. And sometimes you can be a real help to bridge a gap between what's going on in their life in a home or wherever they may be living and what takes place in whatever setting they go to each day.
We should call you a rolling psychiatrist.
Dr.
Bob.
Dr. Bob, right on, yeah. But that's what I listen for. I don't know, I can't speak as how the other drivers, and it's part of it's because of my background in education. And it's something that I'm glad I have, because sometimes I hear something and I want to make sure assure the safety and the security of each individual that rides on my bus to whatever extent that I can do that. And if they get on and they're acting sick, and say, well, you know, the main thing is when you get to the center, why don't you check at the nursing station and have them make whatever recommendation or arrangements that need to be made to make sure that you're taken care of. And I just encourage them to do that, and that leaves them in control of their own life.
Another thing that you have brought up and on some of our rides back and forth is the fact that you feel that because you are driving every day and you're now in your mid-60s, but as you're driving, that you're able to keep your driving skills very sharp, where a lot of people, when they reach senior citizen status, don't drive much, and because of that, you feel that they lose a lot of the skill in their driving.
That's very true. I've always wondered why it was that sometimes when you see older people driving, they don't do it. But if when you stop and think about, as I've looked at my parents who are now deceased and other individuals that I have seen, they get to the point where they're only driving maybe once or twice a week as opposed to a daily occurrence for me. And I find that I stay more alert and more aware of all of the things that are going on as I'm moving down the road, and I'm having to stop, and having people on board make me even more responsible. It's just something that I think has enriched my ability to continue driving very safely.
And, of course, I enjoy our spirited exchanges regarding current situations, whether they be local or national, and we definitely solve all the problems of the world.
Oh, absolutely. We've got an answer for everything. All I need to do is ask it.
Bob, I appreciate you taking time to come on the show with us, and we'll look forward to seeing you bright and early this coming week.
All right. Have a good one, Steve.
People on the bus go up and down, up and down, up and down. The people on the bus go up and down all through the town.
You're listening to The Challenge. To receive email updates about the show and our guests, you're invited to join our mailing list. Simply send a blank message to challenge8255-subscribe@googlegroups.com. That's challenge8255-subscribe@googlegroups.com. Once again, your host, Steve Bauer.
When it comes to transportation, people who depend on paratransit vans and other modes of transportation sometimes can have good experiences and bad experiences. Steve Bauer of California uses paratransit on a daily basis to get to and from work. Steve, what have your experiences been with the paratransit service in the Los Angeles area? Have you had some of those good experiences and maybe some bad experiences as well?
Well, Steve, we could fill up many, many programs talking about access, and actually I work for the Braille Institute, and it's almost become a joke that, you know, many able-bodied people will say, oh, yeah, talking about the weather, and at Braille Institute, it's talking about access. Nothing much you can do about it. Of course, it allows me to get places that I can't drive myself, and so it's a wonderful thing. And it's not a perfect system, and so it's very frustrating. And, you know, it is not, and actually is not intended to be a replacement for me driving myself in a car, and that sometimes I have to keep reminding myself that it's actually a replacement for the bus. And, you know, I could drive to work in a little less than an hour. I live 34 miles from where I work. Paratransit, I allow myself 2 hours to get there, and occasionally I'm late, and fortunately I have a very understanding employer that understands the vagaries of access. Yeah, I mean, there's lots of challenges. There's the scheduling issues that you really can't do much about because it's out of your control. Access hires a lot of drivers that don't speak English well and therefore aren't able to read maps, and you know, they're used to having people who aren't blind, perhaps, and though they say, do I go left or right? And it's like, well, gee, where are you? So that's a challenge. And you just, you know, it's just you know, you can't do anything about it when it rains, and you can't do anything about it when access is late. So you just kind of have to deal with it. And yeah, and then the chair rides are the big unknown too, because you know, sometimes the software that allegedly is supposed to do a great job of doing share rides does a terrible job, and you end up literally going in several different directions to get to where you're going.
Well, fortunately for me, my ride is, well, it's somewhere between 10 and 15 minutes, just depending on the traffic between here and work. And so I generally just sit there and shoot the breeze with the driver. There's not enough time to get anything out and start listening to a book or anything, because by the time you do that, you're home, you got to stop anyway. So I'm very thankful for being close enough to work that it's not that big of a deal.
The wheels on the bus go round and round.
I'd like to thank both Bob Harris and Steve Bauer of California for being my guests as we've been talking about transportation. My wife was saying she couldn't even begin to count how many times she has heard that song in raising our nieces and having little kids around. So I should probably play more of it just to bug her, but I won't. Next week on our show.
Oh, the good life.
I will welcome as my special guest jazz vocalist and keyboardist Diane Scherr.
Yes, the good life.
Diane has been blind since birth. She has a very successful career and a really neat story to share. Diane has released a CD. In fact, it came out on February 26th. It's called Some Other Time. And it's the music of our parents' generation. The CD was dedicated to her mother, and her mom passed away when Diane was just 13 years old. That was in 1967. So next week, my special guest, vocalist Diane Scherr.
Don't try to fake romance. Good life.
And you know, there are many very successful blind musicians like this guy.
No New Year's Day to celebrate.
Of course, that's the unmistakable sound of Stevie Wonder.
Georgia, Georgia.
And it's the late Ray Charles. He had quite an amazing career. A lot of great music. And what a story he had to share with all of us. Joe McBride lost his vision as a teen. He's a jazz keyboardist and has a very successful career. I know that Joe lived down in the Dallas area for quite a while, but now he has relocated to Ohio. And here's the guy that we will have on the show one of these weeks very soon. He's out of New Orleans. We're talking about Henry Butler. Of course, Henry was greatly affected by Hurricane Katrina, and we're going to hear his story and talk to him about how he came back from the devastation of that terrible storm.
It's right where she belongs, and I'm home.
a chance to meet Ronnie Millsap back in about, what was it, 76, 77? Yeah, it had to be 77. Now, I know he won't remember me, but what a great career this man has had. It's Ronnie Millsap. And then, of course, there's Andrea Bocelli. Jose Feliciano. And of course, his most famous song.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad.
Knock the monkey around my widder when I'm gone.
Doc Watson.
If you monkey around my widder, I'm a telling you the fact. My big white ghost will come a sneaking back.
Country singer Terry Gibb. So a lot of great, talented blind musicians out there. And kind of leads us back around to our guests next week. Diane Schur will be our guest next week here on The Challenge. And in fact, she'll be our guest for the next 2 weeks. So I hope you can join us for that. Thanks for listening. Have a great week. We'll see you next week on The Challenge here on Mainstream.
Nice work if you can get it, and you can get it if you try. Just
if you have comments about the show or would like to be a guest, call a listener feedback line at 206-333-0257. That's 206-333-0257. Or send email to challenge8255@gmail.com. To receive email alerts about the show each week, including information about our guests, send a blank message to challenge8255-subscribe@googlegroups.com. That's a blank message to challenge8255-subscribe@googlegroups.com. Thanks for listening, and stay strong when encountering the challenges of life. Please join us next week at this same time for another edition of The Challenge from ACB Radio Mainstream.